Hi, I'm Ben. I suffer from a condition called writer's block. It strikes when I'm at work. That's why I choose Canva Magic Write. It works fast, generating texts in seconds, thanks to AI.
Common side effects include increased productivity, compliments from coworkers, feelings of satisfaction.
Now I can say bye-bye to writer's block.
Ask your boss if Canva Magic Write is right for you at canva.com, designed for work.
Support for this podcast comes from Planned Parenthood. It's hard to imagine a world where we leave future generations with fewer rights and freedoms. Since the Supreme Court's decision to overturn Roe v. Wade, politicians in nearly every state have introduced bills aimed at blocking people from getting the essential sexual and reproductive care they need, including abortion. Planned Parenthood believes everyone deserves access to care. And with supporters like you, they can reclaim our rights and protect and expand access to abortion care. Visit PlannedParenthood.org/future to learn more and support their cause.
You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.
Woo! Holy moly! UFC Vegas 57 post-show, baby! Let's get it started! Yeah!
The excitement is aplenty, and it's a good thing that Alexander K. Lee, my best friend, is not here, because the main event of UFC Vegas 57 had all of the mixing of the martial arts. And I think even AK can appreciate how much the martial arts were mixed in this main event between Arman Tsarukyan and Matush Gamrot. 25 minutes of absolute chaos, high level stuff. And in the end, all three judges saw it exactly the same. 48-47 for Matush Gamrot, who gets the biggest win of his career, and he is on to bigger and better. But what a fight it was. One of the best fight night main events you will ever see, and I am excited to talk about it. Thank you for joining us for the UFC Vegas 57 post-fight show. I am Mike Heck. Got a whole crew here. We got Jose Youngs joining us from Phoenix, Arizona. And we have the man with the fiery hot takes, Mr. No Gray Area himself, Jed Meshew, the new president of the PFL, as you can see.
Sorry, baby.
From head to toe. He's got PFL sweatpants on, PFL sneaks, PFL socks. Look, he's just rolling with the PFL.
I know that we just watched probably the second best fight of the year, but I'm just here so we can talk more about Bruno Capoloza getting upset last night.
Maybe we'll save that for BTL, because I know that's why everybody will tune in during International Fight Week. But Jose, I mean, I'm not going to ask you about the scoring. You didn't want to give a prediction on the fight because you think so highly of these two guys. Mm-hmm. We all had very high expectations for this fight. Mm-hmm. Did it deliver? Did it exceed your expectations? Your thoughts on those 25 minutes?
It didn't exceed my expectations because my gymnastics score was a 10, and I'm not Dave Meltzer, and I don't break my scoring system. So it was a 10 out of 10 main event. I gave it a 10 out of 10 potential, so it lived up to everything that it was built on. It's rare we get these main events. Like, the last one I can really remember was like when TJ Dillashaw fought Corey Sandhagen, where you just knew that no matter, like, it was just impossible for those two gentlemen to have a bad fight. And the same thing with Matush Gamrot and Arman Tsarukyan. This fight was bananas. It was absolutely spectacular. I'm not really going to get into the argument of, is it the second best fight? Is it the first best fight? Is it the best non-title fight? Because that's silly, because that's, this fight just happened, and we should be talking about how great this was, not comparing it to anything else. This fight had everything. It had high action grappling. It had fantastic counter striking. It had high level submission defense, submission offense, wrestling, everything. Stakes were there. Matush Gamrot won. I don't even know what I scored it. I just enjoyed the fight. I wasn't scoring it as I went, as Jed said. Kind of scoring while watching is very difficult when you're just enjoying the fight that much. But based on the new scoring system, I assumed Arman was going to win. Just based on, like, I think Alan, I did Twitter reacts for a site. Alan Joban kind of put it out there where he's like, he was very confused by the decision based solely on the new criteria. Where if it was the old criteria, Matush Gamrot would win. But if it was the new criteria, then Arman Tsarukyan would win. So I just assumed Arman was going to win when they announced Matush Gamrot. I wasn't happy or sad. I was just like, oh, I guess Gamrot won. Cool. Now he can fight someone even higher than him, and Armin can fight another high-level lightweight, because as we all know at MMAfighting.com, the lightweight division is the best division in mixed martial arts, regardless of the campfire stories the rest
preach.
Of us. The rest of this staff tells you about bantamweights and welterweights and what have you. So 10 out of 10 main event, and that's all I have to say. This fight lived up to everything. It was just high-level martial arts, and I don't care that it was in the apex, because, again, that argument is also very played out on this website. This fight ruled, and I don't care where it happened. It was just fantastic.
It was an amazing fight. Jed, I mean, again, everything Jose said is true. This is the true test of the new scoring criteria, right? This is the perfect example. Like, this is the fight when all the analysts and everybody goes back and they're like, all right, we're going to watch this fight and we're going to compare the two criterias. To me, I thought Armin won four rounds just based on the criteria. Damage outweighs control. It outweighs takedowns with nothing really behind it. I thought Armin won four rounds. I don't think he won five. I think he won four. I scored it 49-46. It's not egregious, though, that Gamrot wins 48-47. Like, I'm not, like, enthralled by this decision. I was actually a little more upset with the Cater decision, not because Emmett won, because of the scorecard from Chris Lee, but we don't have that argument here because all three judges scored this fight exactly the same. But you scored it for Gamrot, right?
Including Chris Lee. I did. MMA Fighting's official score for this fight is 48-47. And I'll be honest, I am not married to that score. I was live blogging, so it is really hard to live blog and feel like I'm getting like a, unless it's like a dominant, like I could have live blogged Shavkat Neil Magny and had a pretty good score, like a pretty accurate score for that fight. That would have been pretty simple. But like, this fight had so much going on too. Like, I do most of our live blogs. Like, heavyweights are way easier because they throw like three strikes a minute and they're big times. Like, it was really easy to live blog and score Esparza Nama Yunus because nothing happened. So I'm just sitting there being like, well, nothing's happening. But this one was like, okay, so they scrambled and there was a Granby roll and the position changed and it was back and Sarukian's back up to the cage now. But the body lock, there's just so much stuff going on that I have no idea if the score I put forth is correct or not. My reasoning for it is in what I saw while I was watching. I felt like the damage was equal for the most part. Certainly not in the first two rounds. I thought if you scored that like 49-46 game route, which I haven't seen, but you know, people are crazy, that would be like very, very wrong. And I think the same way that scoring at 5-0 Sarukian, which somebody on MMA Decisions did, is very, very wrong. But for me, I thought the first two rounds were very clearly Sarukian. And then I thought in the last three, the damage in each of those rounds felt very equal, but obviously the grappling, like that's how the scoring goes. If the damage is equal, then you go down to the next criteria, and kind of the control and the grappling certainly favored Gamrot. Again, I'm not married to that score. I'm excited to rewatch that when I can fully focus on it, because it was a friggin' banger. And it's just nice because, like Jose said, when he erroneously said the rest of this website will tell you campfire tales, I have not ever in my entire time, for the 6 years I've worked for MMAfighting.com, I have told you all that lightweight is the best division, because it is and always will be. And this, like he said, this is it. This is exactly why this fight ruled, and I'm really excited to watch it back tomorrow.
Yes, I will be watching this one back as well. There's the score. So most people scored it for Sarukian. 1, 2, 3, 4, 6 for Gamrot, 6, 9, 12, 13, 14. So 15-6, it looks like, for Sarukian. 48-47, 49-46. I even said, like, in our private page, I was like, I got a 4-1 for Sarukian. 5-0 wouldn't shock me from a judge. 48-47 either way wouldn't shock me. It was just one of those fights that it was just so close. And it was so high level that, like, I don't know. I'm not bummed out about the score at all. I'm just like, wow, I can't believe I watched that fight. That was tremendous.
The truth of the matter is, like, I can't speak for y'all. I don't feel like either man's better than the other. I feel like, and they said it kind of a lot on the thing, I just feel like they are even. They are exactly even fighters. And they should fight five more rounds and they'll still be even, but I'll watch them fight 3 hours if that, cause that was awesome. So like, I don't, if you gave it to either man, I'm fine with it, but I feel like at the end of the day, they are identically like at an identical skill and talent levels. And that's why it created such an awesome fight.
Yes. I hope we get to see it again. I hope there's a day where I know Islam Makhachev, Jed, in your eyes is going to have the title until the day he decides I don't want to have the title anymore. But I hope one day these two guys fight for the title. We get five more rounds of this with the stakes just incredibly high. And I mean, if these guys want to run it back or do four or five fights, I mean, I'm down. It was just such a good fight. But Jose, I know sometimes we present these matchmaking questions before the card and you're like, well, we got to see how the fight plays out. We know that Shavkat's going to take a big step forward. No doubt about it. 100%. But where's Gamrot going to go with this win? Like how high do you shoot him up? Like Sarukyan was talking about the Michael Chandlers of the world. Are we looking at that for Gamrot? Like what do we do with him from there, from this victory? Because it was impressive. It was unbelievable.
I think you're going to have to give him a guy that's highly ranked, but is probably not going to fight for the title anytime soon. So like when he called out Justin Gaethje, I would be shocked if they made that fight only because I think what Justin Gaethje is what 2 or 3 ranked in that division. I don't think they're going to give Mataj Gamrot the number 2 or 3 ranked lightweight in the world, but I think he's going to have to fight someone either like that if he wants a top 5 guy, a guy that, you know, can't really say no to fights because Justin Gaethje's fought pretty much everyone else in that top 5 outside of like Islam and Beneil Dariush, but I don't think Gaethje's going to fight Beneil because they both have the same manager. So maybe the winner of Fazeev versus RDA, I think that fight, again, is anyone going to complain if Mataj Gamrot fights RDA or Rafael Fazeev? Because as we all know at MMAfighting.com, the lightweight division is the best division in mixed martial arts. And I'll see anyone in the top 25 fight anyone inside the top 25, and it'll be a high-level action-packed martial arts competition. Now, I wouldn't even hate if Armin Sarukyan fought the loser of Rafael Fazeev versus RDA because all of those fights are fantastic. But if they make Mataj Gamrot versus Justin Gaethje, which I doubt they will, but I think it honestly actually does make sense considering Justin Gaethje's, like I said, fought everyone else kind of in that group. Sign me up for another 5-round scrap. I don't care. Again, don't care where it is. If they want to bring it to Arizona, if they want to go to Europe, whatever. Don't care. Just want to see Mataj Gamrot fight someone in the top 10 for 25 minutes because, you know, you beat Armin Sarukyan, you're a bad dude.
Yeah, a lot of people that I've seen who scored it for Sarukyan are talking about the knockdown. And I think it was either the 3rd or 4th round. And I was curious.
Was that a knockdown? Because like I couldn't tell. They talked like it wasn't.
It was scored officially a knockdown for Sarukyan.
Was it? Okay.
According to UFC stats. I mean, just such a close fight. It was unbelievable. Sarukyan, significant strikes, 95 to 81. Doesn't tell the tale of the fight. It was just so good. And I love people on Twitter just because I've sung praises of a fighter and I was very high on a fighter. People are adding me on Twitter saying, oh, sad night for Mike. I don't give a shit that he lost. Like, It doesn't affect my life. He'll be back. He'll be back. I thought he won. It's okay. He'll be back.
You're not doing fandom right, Mike. Come on. Like, you get mad when the Celtics lose to the Warriors, be mad when your boy. That's the reason to pick fighters to stan is so you can treat them like sports teams and be mad when they lose and be excited when they win. When Hamzat takes the belt off Usman, I'm gonna be right there, and a lot of people are gonna be with me. And then when you fight Shavka, it's gonna be awesome. Like you should be sad right now because your man got robbed, Mike. That's what you need to be doing in these moments.
He won 60-35 tonight and he got screwed. It's funny. My little brother, who is a very casual MMA fan and only watches it for, as you would love, Jed. He does it so he could bet on it and find things. And even he scored the fight. He doesn't even watch MMA all that often. Even he scored the fight 4-1 for Sarukyan. So there you go. But again, tremendous fight. We all win. Anybody who watched it were the real winners tonight. And Mateusz Gamrot goes on to bigger and better things. Can't wait to see where both of these guys go. Can't wait to see how Sarukyan bounces back. And by the way, just, let's all remember, let's not be taking the shovels out for Sarukyan yet and start digging his grave. He's 20 friggin' 5 years old. The guy's coming back. He'll be in these spots again and again and again, climbing that ladder. And he's going to have to chase Matush Gamrot now, who gets the biggest win of his career. But what? You have something to say?
Honestly, this is actually the best outcome because Sarukyan's only 25. Like, he loses almost no value. And, like, his stock takes zero hits. I'm going to move both Gamrot and Sarukyan up in my rankings this month. Like, and he still gets to come back. Whereas if Gamrot takes this L, maybe isn't the end of his title aspirations, but at 31, having just lost to like the new hot shit, like it's really tough for him to put together like a title run in the next couple of years. So this is actually kind of the best outcome as far as the UFC and lightweight division goes.
It's a great point. We'll be talking about this fight in December when we're talking about fights of the year. It'll be on that list, no doubt about it.
Hi, I'm Ben. I suffer from a condition called writer's block. It strikes when I'm at work. That's why I choose Canva Magic Write. It works fast, generating texts in seconds, thanks to AI.
Common side effects include increased productivity, compliments from coworkers, feelings of satisfaction.
Now I can say bye-bye to writer's block.
Ask your boss if Canva Magic Write is right for you at canva.com, designed for work.
Support for this podcast comes from Planned Parenthood. Your body is your own. That's why Planned Parenthood is committed to ensuring that everyone has the information and resources they need to make their own decisions about their bodies, including abortion care. Today, lawmakers who oppose abortion are challenging Planned Parenthood. Affordable, high-quality, basic health care for more than 2 million people is at stake. Planned Parenthood believes that health care is a basic human right. That's why they fight every day to push for common sense policies that protect our right to control our own bodies. They also work tirelessly to oppose the onslaught of new policies aimed at interfering with personal decisions best left to patients and their doctors. They won't give up and they won't back down. You can join Planned Parenthood in the fight to help make sure that the next generation can decide their own futures. The organization needs your support now more than ever. With supporters like you, they can reclaim our rights and protect and expand access to abortion care. Visit plannedparenthood.org/future. to learn more and support their cause.
But the big story coming out of this card, Jose Youngs, Shavkat Rakhmonov didn't just beat Neil Magny. He put the boots to Neil Magny. He thrashed him. This was some performance. This is exactly what he needed. 10-8 first round, just absolutely thrashed Neil Magny and then put him away in the second, gets the buzzer beater submission. What a performance. I mean, coming out of that win, seeing what he did to Neil Magny, what was your reaction once the tap happened with, like, I don't know, 5 seconds left in the second round? What was your reaction after watching that performance?
We saw a human being fillet another human being inside the octagon. That's what happened. He basically just surgically cut through Neil Magny and then choked a man in front of his friends and family to remain undefeated inside the UFC. So, yeah, Shavkat Rakhmonov is a horrifying human being. And I tweeted this and I still don't know. Was that more impressive than Khamzat's win over Gilbert Burns? I don't know. Like, Khamzat versus Gilbert Burns is a fight of the year candidate. Or is that what is doing that to the guy who has the most wins in UFC welterweight more impressive than a fight of the year over a guy that fought for the title? I don't know. That was uber impressive. So, as Jed said, it feels like Shavkat and Khamzat are just on a collision course for the title. But I mean, again, like, we're just kind of overlooking the number one pound for pound fighter in the world right now. Kamaru Usman, just goes to show you how bright the future of that welterweight division is. I can't say enough positive things about Shavkat. He's, again, a horrifying human being. He wears a hat made of literal wolf skin to the octagon, and then he chokes a human being unconscious, and then he wears a wolfskin hat outside of the octagon. So all power to him. He wants to fight Stephen Thompson. Not going to happen. I don't know who's going to fight next, but I don't care who he fights. He's probably going to be the betting favorite.
Jed, your thoughts on Shavkat's performance? I could sense you're really high on him, and we talked about what you're going to do in your lightweight rankings. You're going to move both Sarukyan and Gamrot up after that performance. I cannot wait to hear what you're going to do with Shavkat Rakhmonov. Are we shooting him up? Is this going to be, are you going to just have him? Is he a top five guy? Are you putting him that high or is he even higher?
Yeah, he's going top five. He's going to go top five. I have him 11 now, which I think is the highest anyone has him. And I'm putting him up to five. This dude's legit. Like he is the absolute truth. No joke. So at some point he and Khamzat are going to fight and that fight is going to be amazing. It's just going to be like the pinnacle of mixed martial arts and how all that works. It's going to rule and I'm really excited for it. You get Boars, which I think means wolf, if I'm not wrong. And you get the dude with the wolf hat. You get names. See, yeah, same. Look, like they're the same person, only different. And so I'm very excited to watch them fight each other, especially and hopefully with a title on the line. It's going to be awesome. But yeah, any questions I had about Shavkat, and I had a couple, I knew he was good. I didn't know he was this good. People don't emasculate Neil Magny like that. And that was like, he wrecked his whole shit good and proper. That's the only way to put it. So, Shavkat's the truth. And I'm only putting him at number five, but if you wanted to tell me that he could go and do the same damn thing to Leon Edwards, Colby Covington, like, I'm not going to argue with you because that man has finished every single human being he has fought. And that is a very impressive thing, especially as the quality of his competition has gotten better. His performances have only gotten better. And that's championship right there. So, yeah, the top two fights tonight were awesome.
Did you like the Stephen Wonderboy Thompson call out, Jed?
Sure. Hold on, I'm going to pull up the UFC rankings because I don't remember where they – I mean, it makes sense for him from that standpoint, though I guess maybe it's – I don't know. He's going to move into their top 10 with the win over Magny, and Thompson's kind of an appropriate step up. It would at least be really – I mean, it wouldn't be that interesting because Steven's kind of washed, and he's been getting trucked in the same manner over and over again, and Shavkat would just do the same. But, like, it makes sense from a progression standpoint, but – the other people on top of him, like the fight that I would be the most interested in is Gilbert Burns, but then that feels like he's just copying Khamzat, you know? So, but again, like it's like Jose said, dude, just match him up. Welterweight, it's not as good as lightweight, but it's still one of the three or four best divisions in the sport. You just mash them together. Anything's gonna taste delicious.
My first thought was Gilbert Burns, but then I realized that Rakhmonov trains at Sanford, so I don't know how tight they are. I mean, yeah, he does. So I don't know if like they're, I don't know if they're like day in, day out training partners because, I mean, Sanford's got a lot of guys and it's a big gym, so maybe they train at different times. Who knows? But, I mean, however high they want to shoot him, yeah.
There's just nobody because Colby's not going to fight him. And, I mean, Khamzat probably would, but that you shouldn't do that now. And then it's Bilal Muhammad. Bilal's not going to – I don't think Bilal's going to try that. Bilal's trying to get a title fight, so I don't think he's going to fight the number 9 or 10 guy.
I think Bilal's going to fight Khamzat in October.
Okay. That fight makes sense. But then if Shavkat won't fight Burns, it's Luque, who just got dump trucked. It's Masvidal, who's Masvidal, Thompson – Sean Brady. Yes, Sean Brady have a fight?
No, he wants the Bilal fight. That's the one he wants.
No, he's trying to fight Dustin Poirier. Yeah.
Yeah, I saw the
Poirier. He's not going to get that fight. We know that.
I mean, Sean Brady or Stephen Thompson would be okay. I don't like the Sean Brady thing because I'm not a huge – I mean, it sounds weird after we just had this main event that was awesome, but I don't love matching prospects up like that, and I'm very high on Sean Brady as well. But – there's not a ton of options based on the UFC's rankings at this point. So either of those fights are fine. If you like fight Gilbert,
I think win or lose, Robbie Lawler needs to fight Stephen Thompson next. And then I accept Shavkat should probably fight someone like Michel Pereira, who's like out like in the 15 to 10 range. And we'll like test his striking. You know, I think Michel Pereira could put on a pretty crazy fight against Shavkat.
Yeah, it's interesting because even Wonderboy in a recent interview said that the two guys he's got his eye on right now are Michel Pajeda and Kevin Holland. And I feel stylistically like those, after fighting two wrestlers or two guys who just took him down over and over again in his last two fights, I feel like that's about as good as it's going to get for him. Otherwise, Shavkat would probably like that?
Didn't he like say he that said, directly? Like, I don't want to fight guys who are just going to tackle me, which, you know, fair play to him.
Yeah, because what Brady called, because Brady called Wonder Boy out. He's like, come on, man, you're the nicest guy ever. Like, it was the most respectful call it ever. And Brady just got trounced for it. I was like, come on.
Brady. That dude might actually be the best welterweight prospect in the world, but he's going to get a title fight in 2027. Like, he ain't going to make shit happen. I've mentioned this before. It's the problem. Everybody in the world knows a Sean Brady. You went to high school with three Sean Bradys. They all sell insurance right now. You got to have a gimmick. You got to have something. You can't just be a damn good fighter. So change your nickname to Thunder Jesus Sean Brady, and maybe people will care about you. Because otherwise, you're going to be stuck in Leon Edwards land.
Have they announced the bonuses yet? I'm still waiting on those. Because you know Rakhmonov's definitely getting a bonus.
Rakhmonov would, and fight of the night is for sure the main event. So it's just who's getting the other one. I mean,
I'm seeing this story a lot. What do you think about this, Jed? We're going backwards here to the main event if we're talking matchmaking. So if the UFC boosts forward with the fight we think they're going to move forward with, which is Makhachev versus Oliveira for the vacant title, what about Gamrot versus Dariush? Are you in for that?
I mean, yeah, that fight would be incredible, but I don't, if they can do that, that fight makes a ton of sense. But it's exactly what Jose said. I do not care. Put him against anybody that's not named Tony Ferguson in their top 10. That's fine. Like, that Tony Ferguson shouldn't be in the top 10. Like, that's bad. But outside of him, I don't need to see another demolition. Just go. No wrong answers.
There we go. Our Armin Less fight technically was close to fight could be. He's 25 is good value. Yep. Not a bad take. Rest of the main card, because I'm sure we'll have a lot of questions about all those guys. Josh Parrish and Alan Badeau. Maybe that will be the fight of the night. Who knows? But no Josh Parrish gets the comeback win. Good performance from Thiago Moises. Gets a rear naked choke in just a strange way where he grabbed his own elbow for leverage. Don't see that very often. So that was well done.
Man strength choke right there.
It sure was. That's training with Grant Dawson, having that big dude on your back. Umar Nurmagomedov, good Lord. What a performance. I actually felt bad for Nate Mayne. As I'm watching this fight and I'm just like, cause I'm thinking Umar's just going to take him down, submit him in 2 minutes. And yeah, it'll sting, you know, on the inside. Your ego takes a little bit of a hit if you get trucked like that in 2 minutes. But at the same token, I would take that over what happened tonight in a heartbeat. Because I was just like, man, just let him choke you. Just get out of there. Like, this is bad. It's just so bad. Umar just ran him over. And how one judge didn't give a single 10-8 round to Umar Nurmagomedov is a travesty.
What's it matter?
It's a travesty.
I guarantee you that judge was just like, this does not matter. Because 2 minutes in, you like, if I was a judge, I would have written my scorecard out 2 minutes in and just sat back and watched it. Because you knew how it was going.
I was doing Twitter reacts, and I like write like so and so defeat so and so as a headline. And before the fight even started, I wrote Umar Nurmagomedov submits Nate Maness. And I was like, what are we doing here? Like, just finish it. And then the fight ended. I'm like, I don't even care what the scorecards are. It's like, you just mollywopped a dude on national television.
Yeah.
It's just like, maybe a judge gives a sympathy round to Nate. Maybe Nate gets a sympathy round somewhere. Hey, listen, this is the right guy won, but
where
we'll give him a sympathy round.
For being dominated less bad than the other round.
Dude, I felt bad for Nate Maness, but kudos to him for going the distance.
Umar is about to make a majestic appearance in my bantamweight rankings this year. I've been holding off because he hasn't beaten anybody like good, really. And I'm not saying Nate Maness is like great, but I'm done pretending. He's about to get the Hamzat straight to the top treatment in my rankings.
And more importantly, the champ Aljamain Sterling was tweeting about, because when I was doing Twitter X, Aljamain was like super high on him, And he even tweeted, like, I'll see you soon. So if the champ is tweeting, I'll see you soon, that means he at least is laying the seeds out.
I'm not trying to put anybody on blast here, so I won't say names, but a member of MMA Fighting reached out to me in the middle of that fight and said, so if Umar got matched up against Aljo, would he be a favorite?
No.
I was like, he wouldn't, but I love where your head's at.
No.
Yeah, not right now, but he's on his way. That was some showing. Chris Curtis, nice win. Carlos Ulberg gets his first UFC finish. Shailin Nurudanbaka, I think that's how you pronounce it. I have to go back. I always thought it was pronounced a completely different way. And then Brennan Fitzgerald, who I trust way more than myself, said it a different way. So I'm going to go with that. Sergey Morozov, good win. Cody Durden, quick finish of JP Bays. I feel like I like JP a lot. He's a nice guy, but I feel like, you know, I think he's going to have to take a step back, unfortunately. Mario Bautista, slick submission over Brian Kelleher. And then Vanessa Demopoulos gets a split decision win over Jin Yu Fry. Go ahead, Jed.
I was saying Batista has to be the other bonus, right? Because I forgot all about the Kelleher sub, but that was very nice.
No, it was beautiful. That was slick. Just getting a full mount. Oh, do we have bonus? So I think we have bonuses.
I have no idea.
Let me just double check. Let me just double check this. I want to make sure we have this correct. Normally I know this by now, but so we're still apparently waiting. We know the main event's getting one, and we know Shafkat's definitely getting one. Tapology says that there's bonuses already, but I haven't seen them anywhere. So
maybe they do the cool thing where everyone who got a finish gets a bonus. That would be nice.
They should do that, but I don't think they will. But we'll see what happens. Let's go to the peeps while we await the bonuses and see what they have to say about this card. Because it was good. It was a solid card. It was a very solid card.
The fights that we were excited about were exciting.
All delivered.
There were lots of fights on the card, but the fights that we were like, watch these fights, delivered.
Yeah, the main card was, I mean, even the Parisian Badeau thing was like fun. It was dumb and shouldn't have been on the main card, but it was still fun. The main card ruled.
All right. So the bonuses. According, I'm assuming this graphic is correct. Someone screenshot the bonuses. Performances are Thiago Moises, Shafkat, Josh Parisian, and then the main event gets fight of the night.
Josh Parisian
gets a bonus over Mario Bautista and Cody
Adam
Durden.
Martin making it
Adam
happen.
Martin caught it. Adam Martin making it happen.
I thought I like Adam.
He got it over Bautista. He got it over Bautista.
That's what this graphic shows. I don't know what to tell you guys. I'm just.
Also, that would be three. So they gave three bonuses and fight of the night, and then that would be the biggest slight.
Oh my god! And so wait, Ulberg didn't get one either. So like you got it, but they gave it. Oh jeez, I don't understand anything that the UFC does. I do not. Corey Durden didn't get one. They gave it to Parisian. Oh, what a wonderful world!
This is awesome.
That can't be right. Like, oh,
spectacular stuff.
Why did I ever doubt Adam Martin? Why did I?
I can't believe. Like, I saw that tweet and I'm like, that is just a ridiculous statement. And he was right. Wow. If I'm Mario Bautista and Cody Durden, I ain't happy right now. That's for sure.
I don't
get
it.
For Josh. Like, he needed that win.
Durden,
good for him.
Is Cody Durden ever happy? Like, come on.
He lives in Covington, Georgia. I've been to Covington. You can't be happy there. It's actually like right outside of Atlanta, so like you really can't be happy there.
But Mario Bautista is not from Covington, and he seems like a very happy, jovial individual. Very serious guy at times, but you know.
He also totally deserved a bonus.
100%. Doing that to Brian Kelleher, that is not easy to do.
Smoked him. And like, I never understood that. Congratulations, Mr. Parisian. You came back and you won your fight, but you got beat up too. And, geez. All right. Questions. That's here we go. Wild.
All right. Everyone give 30 seconds on why Parisian shouldn't have the bonus. And then I'm going to send it to him right now. Let's go. Everyone.
No, they all should have bonuses. They all should get bonuses.
All right. Let's go.
Because,
What are we talking about?
Because it's heavyweight MMA, and we should not reward heavyweight MMA unless it's Francis Ngannou decapitating fools.
Or Alexander Romanov.
Yeah. Okay. Big sexy King Kong. That works for me too.
All right. Let's go. Let's see what the peeps have to say.
This week on The Pitch, would you like fries with that?
People are what make franchises run. The person who knows the business inside and out.
Yep.
Not someone who came off Wall Street because their check clears. Franchairs is the first investment marketplace where people can invest in franchises.
So you said $800 billion is what this market is a year. And hundreds of businesses are actually franchised businesses.
Thousands and thousands. There are more brands franchised than there are stocks on the NASDAC.
Oh.
You're raising a $4 million price round.
And what are the terms on that?
The $19 million post-money valuation.
Okay. And do you not think that the valuation is a little frothy?
This week, things get frothy when Kenny Rose brings a new alternative investment class to retail investors. Go right now and subscribe to The Pitch wherever you listen to podcasts.
Would have been better if Rachmaninoff called out Sean Brady.
You'd have to know who Sean Brady is.
Yeah.
What'd you call him? Thunder Dolphin, was it?
Thunder Jesus. I like Thunder Dolphin too, though. Actually, I'm totally down for Thunder Dolphin. That's even better.
We're going off the rails here. I love it so much.
Topology, guys. Talk about the very first fight of the night, actually.
I thought Vanessa won all three rounds, but could see her losing weight the first to volume. Vanessa still had the biggest moments in round one, though. I hated that scorecard. It doesn't matter. It was a good fight. If you scored a 29-28 for Demopoulos, I had no issue with it. I just didn't see a world where Vanessa won that first round. But it was a good fight. And Vanessa gets a big win. Yeah.
MMA decisions. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. 10 media members picked Fry winning. One picked Demopoulos. So, a little too low on the card for maybe a robbery report from Mr. A.K. Lee, but I think it was a robbery. But poor Jin. Good on Vanessa.
It's a good fight.
Oh, yeah.
Jin's gotten a lot better. Jin's like a whole different fighter since going to Florida. She looks
much more comfortable in her strawweight body, you know, being an atomweight for years, and looks like the gym move to Fortis, because she lives in the Fort Worth, Dallas area anyway. So it's all good. I hope the UFC, is that two losses for Jin, or is that off a win? Is she off a win?
No, she was coming off two wins.
Oh, coming off two wins. All right. Hopefully her job's secure.
Now, to be fair, those wins were over Gloria Topal and Ashley Yoder, both of which I think have a combined 500 record in the UFC. So, but I'm sure she'll get another fight.
And apologies for cut.
Yeah.
But they are Ultimate Fighters. All right.
Most importantly, though, I don't care who won, because Demopoulos has the best gimmick in MMA right now. The jumping into the announcers things is hilarious. And she should win every fight, because I just want to see her jump in everyone's arms. It's really fun.
Parisian should have gotten 50K if he did the jump instead of just talking about the jump. Did you see his post
fight? If he had just jumped without warning him at all, I would say give him all the money.
All the money.
Because that would have been truly incredible to watch Bisping just watch this man functionally drop kick the air and fall down in the cage. What are you doing?
Josh is a hilarious guy too. Tristan Garnett, Shafkat is still legit, and he proved it tonight. To submit Magny like that was so impressive. It's so hard to finish him, and he was able to do that with no issue. Yeah. I mean, Shafkat's the MVP of this card. That's for damn sure. As good as that main event was, Shafkat's the guy that people are going to be talking about for the next few days until International Fight Week coverage starts. No doubt about it.
What does Shafkat need to have to do to get that Hamzat type of allure?
Learn English. Learn English.
Is it simple as that, you think?
Pretty much it. Because when Mike and I spoke to his manager in Jacksonville, I don't know if you remember the fight he had before this. He had like the UFC translator, which isn't nearly as good as who's his translator? What's his name?
Zayat,
who is actually like a very good translator, mm-hmm. and everyone was really upset, including like the UFC, because you can't promote a guy that can't really come across as relatable if you can't understand what they're trying to say. So now that's why Saeed was in there for this, so he got a much better translation. But I think it's literally comes down to being able to learn English if you want to keep fighting in America, which is unfortunate, but that's how it is.
But I don't think you need to learn English. You just got to know like 50 words. Smash.
Yeah. It's not like Hamzat knows English. He just says, "I'm going to smash everyone," like, and yells it at the top of his lungs.
Yeah, but I guess Hamzat, he knows infinite, like he knows substantially better English than almost most of Russian fighters in the UFC. And he fought twice in 7 days. So like he's already ahead. He's already ahead.
You know,
but if Shavkat just could get like 3 catchphrases to repeat while he actually learns English, that'd be fine. But you can't promote a dude who's like, "All right, tell us what you think." And one, he's more mild mannered anyway. So it's just less. And then getting that through a third party, it's just not. Yeah, it's just not the same.
He needs that catchphrase. Because I remember when Triple G, when the first time he said "big drama show," big drama show, everyone just went crazy. You know, when first time Habib was dominant forever, but it wasn't until he learned like 3 words in English that we all kind of
no one cared about him until he did the "your chicken" thing and Michael Johnson. Like that was it.
Yeah. So all right. So if you tell Shavkat's manager, just give him 5 words and repeat.
Just cut the Hulk Hogan promo. What you gonna do when Shavkat runs wild on you? And then just like flex and walk away. Like that's enough. That's enough.
Or just howl like a wolf. Like you got the hat on. Just do that. Like it's fine.
Yeah, I guess right there is a mystique to him. He's a less is more type guy. I think if he doesn't know anything, just show a little bit, and then I don't know. From a fighting standpoint, like all the hype that Hamzat gets, I think Shavkat should have the same amount, but super fun prospects.
That's an interesting.
Yeah, he needs to be more. I think the activity. He's fought twice this year, but when he got in the UFC, it was one fight in 2020, one fight in 2021. He's a little more active this year, so I think if he can get in one or two more, I think that's really going to help him. Shavkat versus Vicente for potential fight of the year.
That's not maybe, fight but of the year. Again, that's a murder.
Vicente's got a fight anyway, so Vicente's fighting Jeff Neal.
Oh, that's a much better. That's much closer to being fight of the year. Shavkat's just gonna truck Vicente.
Tater tots and fans. Yeah. Is it too early for Hamzat versus Shavkat? Yes, it is too early. But you best believe the UFC is thinking about that. It is a goal of theirs at some point in the next couple of years to make their way to that matchup at some point. But it's not going to happen now.
Yeah,
that fight could headline, because I know the UFC has to go to Abu Dhabi like once a year, and they have to give him a title fight. And now that Habib's gone, Islam's the guy that they're going to headline that card with. But say we live in a fairy tale world where Islam doesn't win the title, that fight headlines Abu Dhabi.
Yeah, for sure.
A, because Hamzat's not getting into the country anytime soon, so they're going to have to fight there.
Well, hold on. I don't really agree with this, but tell me what you think.
Moby One Kanab. Hamzat didn't get but one or two times in all his fights up to Burns. That's why Hamzat had more hype. His wins were more brutal. I mean, I don't think that's. I think there's like some truth that, but still, like one. Would he take one significant strike until the Burns fight, right?
Correct.
So, think of the level of competition. So I think tonight, Aaron Bronsetter tweeted this out. I think tonight Neil Magny landed the most strikes that have been landed on Shavkat Rakhmonov since he's gone to the UFC. 11. 11. Most was 9 before that.
Were any of those even like grazing up kicks? I felt like those weren't nothing like.
He didn't land. He didn't land 11 strikes. If you told me he landed 11 strikes, I do not believe you.
Yeah,
that's not true.
I didn't see that either.
But it's
he landed 21 total strikes according to the stats. 11 significant. Rakhmonov landed 19 significant strikes, 56 total. two of two on takedowns, 9 minutes and 6 seconds of ground control. Insane. Wild.
I like this comment.
The big difference, though, just to put a bow on this, I was like, because I think that is true. It's not that he didn't get hit. It's just the eyeball test of dominance, Khamzat was more dominant. Now, are you in talk quality of competition? Okay, that's not really how MMA fandom works. Like, fans don't really care. Like, we care, but like broader fan bases that support fighters don't give a shit that you dominated Michelle Pizzea. Like, that doesn't matter to them. It's like, oh, Khamzat nuked a dude in 10 seconds. Like, that's a thing. And then a week later, he nuked another dude in like 2 minutes or whatever. Like, that's the eyeball test of his wins are more physically and aesthetically dominant. I think there's a good argument that Hamzat's wins are better and more impressive, both from like a tactical and strategic standpoint, but like one dude feels, and that's kind of, I think, the difference. I think Khamzat feels like a physical force of nature and Shavkat feels more like a really, really talented fighter that is not as much on that spectrum.
Also, not for nothing, Khamzat has a scar on his face and looks terrifying. So you see those two gentlemen walking down the street.
He's got the
street
beard. Clothes.
Yeah. If you see those two guys walking down the street and you say one of those guys is going to eat another human being, who do you think it's going to be?
It's not Shavkat.
The guy wearing a wolf head? But I get you what you're saying.
If he could wear the wolf head in the cage, but he takes it off and he has that weird like Pee Wee Herman haircut too. Like, he's got to do something with the facial hair that's how you can get more of a mystique to him, because he looks like a dude who is very smart but also will quietly kick your ass, whereas, as Jose said, Khamzat looks like he will eat you.
Khamzat will be doing the eating. Shavkat would just go like this and touch you in like a pressure spot. You just fall and collapse to the ground. You would just keep walking like nothing happened. You just whistle all the way down the street.
Nat Williams. Touch of death.
There you go. Nat, these scorecards are a rejection of the scoring we've seen over the past few weeks, where having an edge in wrestling has been discounted. Not saying I agree with it, but that seems to be what it is. So here's another point that somebody just DM'd me about it. I wanted to bring this to whoever wants to answer this. There's people who are suggesting that, and maybe there's some truth to this, because most of Tsarukyan's effectiveness tonight came to the body. Those kicks to the body of Gamrot were brutal. But oftentimes fans especially who are really into the criteria, feel like the judges don't give enough love to body shots more so than getting punched in the face. Do you think that would, like, I don't know how much of a difference that plays in the scoring. I don't know if it plays any, but do you feel like that's kind of an issue right now, that Jed, that shots to the body, shots to the legs, things like that, anything above this area, below this area, just isn't getting enough credit on the cards?
Yeah, I think that's been that way forever, though. And it's not that they're not crediting it. It's that they just, head strikes are the premium strike. They're the premium position. That's the thing that is the most eye-catching. Look, when you get hit to the body, unless the dude crumples up, he just kind of walks through it, and that's how a lot of leg kicks are too. You hit to the head snaps, and you can see the sweat fly, and you can see the dude's neck turn. Like, it is a more visceral and, by definition, looks more damaging, whether it is or not. And so I think that absolutely could be part of it, because really, almost all of Tsarukyan's like damage and offense were kicks, whereas Gamrot outboxed him for the most part. And so, at least when I was watching it, I thought that the damage was pretty even, which is why I then went to the secondary criteria, and I could absolutely see judges just not crediting the bodywork as much in that regard, and then not even going to the second criteria, or like me going to the wrestling as a tiebreaker.
And I'll give Gamrot a lot of credit for having one hell of a poker face, because
didn't show any damage at all.
He took a spin kick from Armin and hit him right in the face, and it looked like it hurt Armin's foot more than Gamrot. I was just like, oh, if you don't show visible damage, then I guess it's not damage. So, I think that was the difference for with Gamrot winning with the judges. I didn't have Gamrot winning, but to me, just he didn't show anything hurt. He never went, ooh,
and and Sarukian got cut under the eye, and there were points at time in that fight.
Sarukian looked tired. He looked tired.
That was exactly it. Like, there were points when it did look like Sarukian wanted to be there less than Gamrot did, and I'm sure that that played a factor with me and with the judges.
Yep. Interesting.
Yeah. Great fight, though. Again, I'm not – this is not a robbery. This is
some of the best scrambles we've ever seen. Like that was, I can't remember
the first two rounds of scrambles.
That first round like series where the first Gramby roll that Gamrot hit, like that was insane. All of that was so nuts.
Yeah, it was incredible. I was just like, I was like, man, we are so lucky as fans. Like this is a free fight. We're not paying $70 to watch. This is free. I mean, like, if I like this,
plus.
I mean, you know what I mean.
Yeah.
But like this was
for anyone.
Yeah.
And for anyone that was complaining about this being the main event when they announced again, you can burn in a lake of fire.
You were insane if you were complaining about this fight.
Yeah.
And just think about this. You got to watch this fight, UFC Austin, UFC Vegas 56 for less money this month than it cost you to watch Bellator last night. So keep that into perspective. All three of those, you get to watch all three of those events for less money than it cost you to watch Bellator last night. $10.99 a month for Showtime.
Yep. I guess that is true, isn't it? Yeah.
But this other programming on Showtime, but we don't need to go into that.
But the bantamweight division. Blah. Nah, fuck that. Oh. Bump that.
I'm still team 135. But I respect your guys' commitment to lightweight. So, I get it.
Also, Mike. Uh-huh. Bellator doesn't ask us once a month to drop $75 to keep up with the comings and goings. And even when like next week, it's totally worth the $75, that feels like that still should count in some regards towards the overall price pointing here.
Yeah, but they don't have $75 cards. They don't even have like $30 cards, if we're being honest.
Bellator if it was not my job, Bellator could not get me to pay money.
But I would pay $75 a month to watch Bellator if it means I don't have to hear Josh Thompson talk.
Oh,
where's the horn, dude?
I was about to. Ready? Okay, I was about to. Here we go.
Yeah. If there was a Josh Thompson,
Mike,
Big John,
you saw me thinking about the horn. You saw me thinking about it. I was like, ooh, should I horn that one? Because I kind of want to.
How much extra to get rid of Big John, too? That's the real question. Man.
I want Big John as a ref again. I thought he was a really good ref.
Yeah, he was a good ref. Just do the thing you're good at. Don't branch out. Stay in your lane.
Yeah, I'm not going to say that, but I actually think he was a good ref.
More Rufian Stotts. That's all. Rufian?
Yeah, he was awesome.
Rafian.
What else we got? We'll take a couple more.
Yeah, we got a couple more. Sorry,
because we got a long week ahead of us, friends. We got a long week ahead of us,
dude. Next,
are you guys going to rank Umar this month, or am I going to be the only one?
I'm not on the rankings panel.
That's right. Oh God, 135 is so good. I'll probably rank him. I gotta see him as we
get these next questions.
Yeah, let me find a question. Sorry. oh yeah.
Dominic Cruz will be exiting my rankings. Hell yeah. I've been trying to kick him out of bantamweight for friggin' months.
Did Curtis call out Buckley, or did Buckley call out Curtis?
Buckley tweeted and even made a poster.
Oh, okay. You like that fight?
Way to go, Buckley.
Yeah, so Joaquin Buckley has had this gimmick since he's come into the UFC, and it started with Glory MMA, where he used to train for a little while. He wanted to fight James Krause, and then he just wanted to fight everybody at Glory MMA. And James Krause, from all the fighters that I talked to, basically set up a rule that said, hey, I love you guys, but none of you, if I don't fight this guy, none of you are fighting this guy. Like, I'm the guy. He wants me to fight him. Like, and they all agreed. They're like, yeah, man, that's your fight. So then he goes over to Extreme Couture, and he starts training at Extreme Couture. That's where he trained for the camp for Abdul Razak Al-Hassan. Fights Albert Jiraev, who trains at Extreme Couture, and now he calls out Chris Curtis, who also trains at Extreme Couture. So he just wants to run down all the Extreme Couture guys. So, yeah, I kind of like this gimmick. But do you like this fight? I think that I feel like Curtis is I thought Buckley's performance against Drive Jed was tremendous. I thought it was the best he's ever looked. But I just feel like with what Chris Curtis has done in his since coming to the UFC, I just feel like he's ahead of Joaquin Buckley right now.
Yeah, I mean, I like the fight on the merits, and I know Buckley's on a bit of a run at the moment, but like, I think Chris Curtis deserves a crack at the top 15, and that Buckley isn't that. Like, looking at the UFCs right now, like, I mean, hell yeah, Chris Curtis should be ranked in here above like Edmund Shabazzian and stuff like that. Like, give him somebody in there. Who's Brad Tavares fighting this weekend?
Dricus du Plessis.
Okay, so DDP will move into the rankings.
Chris Curtis versus, if he ever fights Imabov, has he been rebooked yet?
That's spoiler alert for onto the next one. That is my pick. Do it in Paris. That's the fight.
That's a good fight. Yeah, that fight rules. Do that.
Yeah, I mean, I'll heavily favor Imabov, but Chris Curtis has earned that fight. I feel like.
Yeah. I would watch the hell out of Buckley Curtis, but I do think Chris Curtis deserves a shot at the top 15. Yeah.
Oh. Yep. Pheasant. Anything else? Hey. Hey. Yeah. Looking at my bantamweight rankings, Chris Curtis. Yeah, I would say Nurmagomedov's going to get in there, and it's going to hurt me. It's going to hurt me a little bit to take the man he's going to replace out of the rankings, but I feel like Umar would just try to win.
Oh yeah, dude. No, I couldn't be more excited for Dominic Cruz to get out of my freaking rankings.
Real quick, off the Chris Curtis fight. The fight I was way off on prediction wise was I predicted Vieira would win by first round submission. Did not happen, clearly. Are we kind of done believing that he's gonna be a decent middleweight?
No.
Hold on. I love this question, and Jed said something earlier on Slack, and he said something on Twitter as well that I want you to talk about here. What did you make of Vieira's performance overall? Because like, you could tell he's getting better. You can tell the gas tank's improved a little bit. The striking's getting better, but I don't think Jed, you loved the game plan overall of just takedown attempts.
It was awful. So, and I meant what I said. I tweeted that if you shoot 10 takedown attempts and do not succeed on one, you should forfeit the fight, like a mercy rule. I think that's absolutely true, because that's not fighting. And like, it's just not. And I thought he looked really good on the feet. Like, he obviously was improved there. His cardio was improved. He was losing the striking, but he also wasn't winning by desperately spamming takedowns, especially as the fight went on and had even less chance of success. Like, that, the third round, that fight was up for grabs. I think I had it won apiece at the time. And that he could have won that, but he spent that entire round like just falling over at the hips, trying to get a takedown, trying to make that thing happen when he clearly couldn't do it. Instead of just like coming forward and punching a bunch or kicking. Like, he was having a lot of success at range kicking too. So I'm not done on him being like a good middleweight, because his pedigree in the one area is so very, very strong, and he's a pretty good athlete, and he honestly looked a lot like very improved in there. But his game plan was horrendous, and because I don't think Chris Curtis had a good game plan, frankly, but he didn't make him pay, because he was only going to do the one thing, and the one thing he was trying to do he wasn't equipped to do and was really bad. So he needs to maybe get who's he training with, who's he work with?
Curtis?
No, Vieira.
Oh, I'm not sure, actually.
I have no idea who his gym is. So go to American Top Team, because if you're a professional fighter, you should just go to American Top Team. They're really good, and they will teach you to fight smarter and better, because like, that was a very winnable fight for him. But the manner in which he went about it, I thought was awful. And even if, I guess, but again, in that third round, even if like his strategy is maybe like not the worst in the world, the optics for the referee is you took six shots or something like that in the third round, didn't get close to any of them. All right, that just looks like you're panic wrestling, because you feel that you need this, and that's a really bad optic for the ref too, so for the judges. So yeah, I still think he has potential. I'd like to see him get with a good team.
Cool.
And you know who had a, you know who probably won the week more than anybody? Was American Talk Team. Ooh. Was Mike Brown, who was in the corner of Johnny Eblen in the main event and then flies to Vegas to corner Matush Gamrot for his win against Armand Tsarukyan. So great friggin' weekend for American Talk Team.
Yeah.
Good. See, there with Durden? Was he there with Durden or not? I don't know who. Durden's an ATT affiliate.
Yeah, Diego Lima was in this corner. I think he was in
Jimmy
Florida.
But
he usually trains at he usually trains with the Lima brothers.
ATT over had a great weekend.
Sabatello.
Sabatello. I think Cody Law was the only person that didn't win.
Yeah, they went. Sabatello said they went 5-1 on Bellator.
5-1 on Bellator card, and then
they went 2-0 tonight. So
yeah,
or 3-0 tonight with Durden. Yeah. So. Yeah, hell of a weekend.
Great weekend for King Mo. Has a coach now. Killing it, man. 2-0 against Misasi in championship fights. Why did I not see that coming?
Yeah, didn't even think about that. But listen, everybody, you know what time it is? Like, this is one of those things where normally we reflect on these cards for like a half a week, and then by Wednesday we change course. I feel like we're going to think about and reflect on this fight and this fight card for another day or two. And then it's just all, we're just running to UFC 276. This card is ridiculous. And unfortunately, we are a fight short on UFC 276. Mm. We found out on the broadcast, Lauren Murphy, Misha Tate is off the card. No reason given at this point. There's talks about maybe rebooking it sooner rather than later, but nothing is done yet. That's what I've heard, maybe later on in the month, but nothing done. Don't take this information and write articles about it, because you'd be an idiot if you did that. But this is what's being discussed right now. All right, but we're out of here. AK and I are back tomorrow morning doing some matchmaking coming out of this event onto the next one. And then Helwani's back on Monday for the MMA hour. And then Jose and I are off to Vegas on Tuesday. And we have a lot of content coming your way. We're going to have months of content coming out of this week. I can assure you of that. So, and Jed's back at PFL. Look at this. He's going to have new swag to wear on the preview show for
you. Kayla Harrison, baby. So, I might even go to Media Day this time since Kayla's there.
Whoa. Wow. Well, next week's going to be fun for Jed, for EKC Leiden, for Jose Youngs. I am Mike Heck. Thank you for watching. Hope you enjoyed the fights. I sure did. Good night, everybody.
Love you guys.
Happy birthday, AK.
You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.
Canva presents unexplained appearances. It was an ordinary workday until
that presentation appeared out of thin air.
Also, it's eerily on brand.
Wait, did that agenda just write itself?
Words appear, making this unexplainable case
unexplainable? It's Canva's AI tools. I can generate slides and words in seconds.
Really? The real mystery is why I'm only learning this now.
Canva.com, designed for work.
Support for this podcast comes from Planned Parenthood. It's hard to imagine a world where we leave future generations with fewer rights and freedoms. Since the Supreme Court's decision to overturn Roe v. Wade, politicians in nearly every state have introduced bills aimed at blocking people from getting the essential sexual and reproductive care they need, including abortion. Planned Parenthood believes everyone deserves access to care. And with supporters like you, they can reclaim our rights and protect and expand access to abortion care. Visit PlannedParenthood.org/future to learn more and support their cause.